This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A state House committee is getting ready to vote on Michigan's proposed contribution to the Grand Bargain, the name of the agreement that softens the blow to Detroit's city pensioners and protects city-owned treasures at the DIA. The $816 million Grand Bargain draws money from foundations, both local and national, the state, and the DIA. And Detroit Free Press business columnist Tom Walsh believes it's time for another face at the Grand Bargain table, business. And Tom, your recent column in the Free Press says the business sector must ante up to get Detroit out of bankruptcy fast. Why do you believe that?
Well, I think everybody else has almost, and the other major players, the philanthropic foundations are in. The governor is pledged that the state will get there too. Obviously, the House and Senate still have to agree to that, but the private sector has been part and parcel of this entire effort to kind of get Detroit back on track. They've given the city police cars and EMS vehicles and done other things as well. And now they're being asked to be part of the $100 million that the DIA itself has pledged to be part of the Grand Bargain. And so the auto companies have been asked along with some of the other usual suspects.
And who are some of those other usual suspects?
Well, you got Dan Gilbert. They've confirmed that Quicken Loans has been asked and are considering. I don't think it's much question that they will participate. It's sort of how much will they, what level will they participate at? Roger Penske, Blue Cross CEO Dan Lepp, told me that he's been asked and they're considering as well. DTE Energy, The companies with big investments in the city in one way or the other.
So this would their money would go toward helping the DIA make that $100 million share of the Grand Bargain then?
Exactly. And the DIA has – they've actually got some other foundations involved too that have not been part of the Grand Bargain to date. The Getty Foundation out of California is said to be considering it or has acknowledged that they're considering it. We don't know if they're in for sure or for how much.
Now, we've got companies like GM and Ford and Chrysler and Blue Cross and some of those other businesses are really important sources of donations to a lot of worthy charities and organizations. So would we have to accept that those groups might be hurt in order to help Detroit?
Well, I think that over time, yes. I think that there's ever since the Great Recession of 08-09, the spending or the amount available for philanthropic spending by the auto companies and the suppliers who used to lead the way. It was sort of a time-honored way that every philanthropic group in town sort of got their money. They'd agree, you know, which auto company would provide the chairman for this year's event, and GM would take the lead on this, Ford would take the lead on that, and then each of the three auto companies would say, okay, here's what we're in for. And once they knew that, they'd go down and start to talk to the suppliers and some of the big auto dealer groups in town. Those, you know, would be the usual, you know, donors to these kinds of things, along with the other big corporate citizens, everything from, you know, Quicken and to the Illiches to Penske and Blue Cross, the utilities, those kinds of folks.
You know, it is interesting. Every time a piece like yours or similar pieces talking about momentum toward the Grand Bargain is in the paper, when you read the reader comments, which I do, there's still a real strong feeling. In fact, it was reflected in an op-ed piece in this past Sunday's Free Press of people who still say, hey, Detroit fouled its own nest. Let it figure its way out. And they say, hey, this is just drum beating, the media trying to lead the parade toward the Grand Bargain. How is this not drum beating?
Well, you know, I think the media has a role. We have a role in trying to shed light on a subject that often creates more heat.
Yeah.
This is a region that's been plagued by fault lines around, you know, race and city suburb problems for a long, long time, and there's a lot of that kind of knee jerk reaction about history, and you know, we did a big project, boy, almost, you know, going on a year ago now, called How Detroit Went Broke, that, you know, that won a lot of national acclaim, that really went through what really did happen You know, it's not a simple story. It's not, well, it was Coleman Young's fault, or it was GM's fault for, you know, moving stuff out of Detroit, or Chrysler's fault for going from Highland Park to Auburn Hills. None of those is a simple answer, but there's a little bit of, you know, truth to all of it. And what we need to understand is we can't go back. It took a long time to get here. We do have some momentum. This is a chance to get the balance sheet cleaned up and get kind of a fresh start financially, you know, in a very similar way to what happened with the auto companies. There are obviously differences between municipal and corporate bankruptcies, but it did work for the autos. It did give them, you know, a base again from which to build. And I think Detroit has new leadership. It deserves a chance to see what they can do. And you know, the judges have been working pretty hard at it. And I think all with good intent.
And I think as you pointed out in your piece, Tom, it Detroit's fate does impact that of the state of Michigan.
Absolutely. If you go around the country, around the world, people in the rest of the world might not be able to tell where Michigan is on a map, but they all know something or think they know something about Detroit, whether it's about, you know, the auto industry or about its music. Detroit means something around the country and around the world, and it's closely identified with Michigan.
Well, I want to turn your attention to the late word we have that J.P. Morgan Chase is about to announce that it's going to invest $100 million in Detroit. What are you hearing in terms of where that money would go and what it might be able to do?
It'll be a combination of things. I think it'll be mostly the kinds of things that banks do. It will be loans. There will be loans at hopefully attractive interest rates that will go to everything from blight to job training and mortgage money for home loans, as you know, as the mayor tries to, you know, get people to bid on houses and get some more action going in the neighborhoods as well as downtown and midtown. So I think they've been discussing with J.P. Morgan Chase and other banks and lenders and financial folks around the country about, okay, Detroit's a place to invest. We have some things going on that are good. We have low cost of property and real estate, and just movement again in the auto industry and some other industries. So I think it'll be a mixture of things. There'll be some grants. There'll be some job training. There'll be some loans, and it's, you know, it's a big name coming to town.
With deep pockets.
A big name with deep pockets, and it follows on the heels of Goldman Sachs came to town a few months ago with a program that's more aimed at entrepreneurship and helping startup businesses, 10,000 small businesses. You know, every big national outfit like that has some community programs and they've tried in other cities, but they're being encouraged, I think, to look at Detroit, because Detroit has become, you know, kind of a poster child for, you know, industrial decay and erosion. And with all the attention of the municipal bankruptcy now, I think there are a lot of the big financial firms are looking at it too, and they also, I mean, they got beat up pretty good.
They did
the recession in 2008-09, so they have a little image repair of their own to do. So that's part of this as well.
And I can only imagine that this image of Jamie Dimon coming in with $100 million worth of J.P. Morgan Chase loans and grants just kind of sends a general message to the business world in order, the idea of getting more of these businesses on board, the grand bargain to get this thing across the finish line.
Well, exactly. And, you know, anywhere they can get it from. And they've been working, the governor's been working this for a while. And I think, you know, he's got a credible partner, I think, in Mike Duggan on some of these outreach to the rest of the country. They're both good at talking to bankers in Wall Street. I mean, Duggan had to do this with the DMC, you know, financing all kinds of stuff. And the governor has been to New York, I mean, for the usual bond rating kind of meetings, but But I went along on one meeting where he had Bill Ford with him. He had Chris Illich with him. He had Jerry Anderson, the CEO of DTE, with him, where they're just talking to business people about the story in Michigan is changing, and there's a lot of reasons to invest, a lot of reasons to think that there's some momentum that you didn't see a decade ago.
Tom Walsh, Detroit Free Press business columnist. Thanks for talking with us, Tom.
All right, Cindy. Take care.